by transcription.
And now, December Bride, created by Park Levy, featuring Hal March and Doris Singleton. And starring the beloved lady of the screen, Spring Byington.
My name is Matt Henshaw. I'm an ordinary guy, wear ordinary clothes, live in an ordinary house. In fact, I'm just what I appear to be, a perfectly normal guy. Except for one thing. I like my mother-in-law. Everybody likes her, especially the eligible bachelors. You know, since Lily came to stay with us, the grocer always wears a clean apron. The butcher always comes to the door with a smile. And the iceman has been leaving 50 pounds of ice every morning. Which says a lot for Lily's attraction, considering that we don't have an icebox. Would you believe it, as I said to my wife, Ruth, your mother's only been here a week, and she's had 3 dates already.
Four.
Four?
Mm-hmm. She's got a date for lunch.
Who is it this time?
I don't know. It's a new man she's met.
You don't know? That's a pretty indifferent attitude to take about your own flesh and blood.
Oh, Matt, will you stop worrying about Mother? She's old enough to take care of herself.
Oh, yeah? Yeah, well, what about that sailor she went out with?
That sailor, as you call him, happened to be an admiral.
Oh, well, and that admiral, as you call him, acted like a sailor. He brought her home at 2:00 in the morning.
They were at Echo Park. Mother explained all that.
Ruth, I absolutely refuse to believe that an admiral who has graduated from Annapolis and has been in the Navy 33 years can get lost in a rowboat on Echo Park Lake.
Oh, Matt, stop acting like a father in a bad play.
Well, I'm only...
Ruth!
Yes, Mother? Now, Matt, please don't embarrass me.
Okay.
Good morning, children.
Good morning, Lily.
Good morning.
I understand you have a lunch engagement.
Yes, that's right.
Well, I don't want to pry into your personal affairs, Lily, but what exactly do you know about this man?
Well, his name is Oscar Primrose.
Oh, yes.
That about covers it.
Lily, you must know more about a man you're going out with than that.
Now, dear, when you first meet a gentleman, it isn't proper to ask too many questions.
No, of course not.
But Mr. Primrose is a man of culture. His eldest daughter went to Vassar until she married an accountant who has hay fever and isn't doing well. And he divorced his first wife because she ran away with a ballet teacher.
Well, how do you know all these things?
I asked him.
Lily, where did you meet this man?
Oh, it was quite accidental. I was passing by a pet shop, and there was the cutest little schnauzer puppy in the window, so I went in to look at him.
I see.
And Oscar was looking at him, too.
Yes?
And he looked so adorable, I just wanted to hug him and kiss him.
Oscar?
No, the schnauzer. If you could only see how nice he looked out with his nose pressed up against the window and a pleading look in his big brown eyes.
The schnauzer?
No, Oscar. And when he came over and asked me if I wanted to take him home with me, it broke my heart because I had to say no.
Oscar?
No.
The schnauzer?
No, the salesman. You know we have no place here to keep a dog. And then he asked me to go out to lunch with him.
Oscar?
Of course.
Oh.
So you see, it was all perfectly proper.
Lily.
Huh?
Please sit down.
All right.
I think it's time we had a heart-to-heart talk. You see, in this world, there are two kinds of men. Nice men and, well, then there are some who, well, the less said about them, the better. Now, this type of man is always, what I mean is, you've got to be more than careful because he, in other words, Lily, a man of this kind is always, that is, nearly always. Do you follow me?
Yes, Matt.
Good. Lily, I hope I haven't embarrassed you by speaking plainly, but I felt the time was... I felt the time was ripe for a straight-from-the-shoulder talk.
Children, I appreciate your concern about me, but it's really unnecessary. Mr. Primrose is a respectable businessman, and like I said before, when I kissed him goodbye...
What?
Mother!
Huh?
You kissed a man the first time you saw him?
Well, he was getting on a train, and I looked around, and everybody else seemed to be doing it. Oh, my goodness. It's 11 o'clock. He'll be here soon. I'd better get dressed.
Imagine kissing a guy the first time she meets him.
Hiya, neighbor.
Oh, hello, Pete.
Oh, hiya, Pete. How's every little thing?
Oh, Ruth.
Yes, Mother.
Do you know where my perfume is?
Oh, I borrowed it. I'll get it for you.
What does Lily want with perfume at 11 o'clock in the morning?
Oh, she's going out. She's got another date.
Another date? How does she do it? I got a mother-in-law that the house was burning. A fireman wouldn't take her out.
Oh, Pete, you're exaggerating. Maybe she's one of those women who are not interested in men.
Not interested in men? Are you kidding? She's lifted every manhole cover in town to see what's under it.
Pete, I just don't understand your attitude.
Now, what's so hard to understand about my attitude? I got a perfectly sane, normal, healthy, 100% American feeling. I hate my mother-in-law.
No, Pete, you're just prejudiced.
Well, it's easy for you to talk. You get a mother-in-law that's fairly attractive. I got one whose face would stop a clock.
You're exaggerating.
Oh, yeah? And how do you explain the fact that she isn't allowed within 10 miles of the Naval Observatory?
Please, Pete.
Now, look, Matt, you're not in the same position I am. Lily has dates. She goes out. You might even marry her off someday.
Well, that'll make her happy, sure, but not to any Tom, Dick, or Oscar.
Oscar?
Yeah, that's the guy she's going out with today. I don't even know anything about him.
Well, it's easy enough to find out about him. If he's got any dough, he'll be in Dun & Bradstreet.
Yeah.
Say, I think I brought a copy home from the office.
Say, get it, will you?
I'll run home and see if I got it.
Good idea, and hurry, Pete.
Yeah, I'll be right back. Excuse me, Ruth.
Hey, well, where's Pete rushing off to?
Well, we'll soon find out about Oscar. Pete's going to look him up in Dun & Bradstreet.
For heaven's sake, what for? He's only taking Mother to lunch.
I know, but I just want to make sure that Lily doesn't get stuck for the check.
Hey, Matt.
Yeah?
I found the book.
Oh, great. We'll soon see what Dun & Bradstreet has to say about Oscar Primrose.
Primrose. How are not? Pendergast. Fondex. Primrose.
Primrose.
Primrose. Here it is. Oscar. Oscar Primrose.
So what does it say?
He's a four. Wow.
What's it say?
Matt, do you know who Oscar Primrose is?
Who?
He's Crunchies.
What?
Crunchies, the biggest selling breakfast cereal in the country. Oscar Primrose owns it.
No kidding.
Oh, I can see the entire wedding ceremony right now. They'll march down the aisle under a canopy of box tops. Oh, what a father-in-law to have, Matt. What a break for you.
Me? Well, what good will it do me if he marries Lily?
Oh, come on, Matt. You know, if Mr. Primrose marries Lily, he'll probably give you a nice fat job. You'll probably be your vice president.
Vice president, eh? Look, Pete, I'm not one of those guys who's going to use his mother-in-law to get ahead. And I assure you, I will not go out of my way to impress him.
Matt, did you see where I...
Ruth, you're not going to wear that dress.
What's the matter with this dress?
Well, don't just stand there. Tidy up the house.
Matt,
did you dust the furniture?
What's going on?
Take that vase off the piano.
What on earth for?
It looks awful.
Well, what should I put there?
How about a box of Crunchies?
That's a brilliant idea. Have you got a box in the house?
Crunchies? Have you gone crazy?
Well, we've got some, haven't we?
Well, sure. I bought them last week, but you wouldn't eat them. You said they were terrible.
I said that? I never...
Well, you certainly did, and I can tell you exactly what you said. You said of all those...
Never mind. You misunderstood me.
Pete, what's gotten into him?
Money.
Whose?
Lily's new boyfriend. He owns Crunchies.
Oh, so that's it.
No, 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 you've got it all wrong, Ruth. I have no personal interest in this thing at all. All I'm thinking of is Lily's vice presidency. Happiness.
Well, I can't stand all this vulgar talk about money. I'm going home. And if the wedding comes off, let me know, will you? I got an old pair of shoes I'd like to throw out to the bride. My mother-in-law will be in them.
Yeah, well, so long, Pete. Now, let me see. Where's that cigar George gave me last Christmas when his wife had a baby? That must be he. I mean him. No.
I'll get it.
Now, fix your hair, Ruth. Do I need a shave?
Oh, Matt, relax, will you?
Well, I'll...
This is my family, Oscar. My daughter, Ruth, and my son-in-law, Matt.
Well, I'm very happy to know you.
Hello.
Sir, I'm delighted. Meeting you is a rare privilege. It is indeed an honor to welcome you to our...
Okay, Matt, I think you made your point.
Say, what a handsome family you have, Lily, and I can see where your daughter gets her good looks. I always say the acorn doesn't fall far from the tree.
The acorn doesn't fall far from... Say, Mr. Primrose, that's a very deep thought. Do you mind if I write that down?
No, not at all.
Oscar's always saying deep things. What was that you said yesterday, Oscar?
Oh, yes, you mean the darkest path in the forest leads to a brighter day.
Yes, that's the one. I didn't understand that either.
The path in the forest leads to a brighter day. That's just great, Mr. Primrose.
Great is he who wears the cloak of humility.
Gosh. Great
Are you two going for lunch?
La Maison de Cheval Blanc.
La Maison
de Cheval... That's a restaurant, Matt.
Oh.
Well, it's the greatest... I would say it's the greatest place in town for lunch.
Lunch? I don't know how you can mention lunch. What a breakfast I had. Out of this world.
Really?
Yes, sir. Three bowls of good old crunchies. Absolutely delicious.
But, Matt, you told me you hated crunchies. You said they were terrible.
Lily, you must be mistaken.
But, Matt, only yesterday you told me that crunchies turned milk sour as soon as it was poured on.
Lily, what a kidder you are. Mr. Primrose might take you seriously. Mr. Primrose, who manufactures crunchies.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, Oscar, I'm really very sorry.
Oh, no, that's perfectly all right. I manufacture crunchies, but I don't have to eat them. No, eating is too thrilling an experience to waste it on crunchies.
I knew the minute I met you, Oscar, that you were a man who enjoyed the better things.
Yes, well, with all modesty, I do enjoy some reputation as a connoisseur of good food. That's why I'm looking forward to revisiting some of my favorite eating places in Europe.
Europe?
Well, when are you going?
Well, I'm leaving in 3 days, and I'll be gone for approximately 6 months. Oh, I'd love to show you Europe, Lily.
Oh, I'd love to see it.
Well, then that's settled.
And I'm glad, Lily, that one of my last days here will be spent in such charming company. We'll make it a real celebration.
Thank you. I'll go get my coat.
I'll go with you, Mother.
That's a charming woman, your mother-in-law, boy.
Yes, really.
Mother, what are you going to do?
About what, dear?
About Mr. Primrose. You heard what he said. He's leaving in 3 days. You won't have much time.
Oh, well, you know, maybe he doesn't like
me. Oh, of course he does. I saw how he looked at you.
Did he?
And you like him, don't you?
Well, yes, I do, but that doesn't mean he's going to propose to me.
Well, he will if you make yourself provocative and alluring and exciting. Here, let me spurt some more perfume on you.
All right. But from the way Oscar talked about food, I think I'd do better to put a drop of gravy behind each ear.
I'll get it.
No, I will. It's probably Mother. I told her to call and report if anything happens.
Okay.
Hello?
Hello, dear. Is that you?
Oh, Mother, tell me. Has anything happened yet?
No, dear, but I think it won't be long.
Oh, what makes you think so?
Well, he told me all about his first wife while we had the hors d'oeuvre. Then he told me about his second wife while we were having celery and olives. And all through the consommé, I heard about his third wife. He should be getting to me by the time we reach dessert.
Out with Oscar Primrose, and she promised to call as soon as there was any progress. But naturally, being a busy man, and this being Lily's affair, not mine, I certainly wasn't going to hang around the phone waiting for a report. Hello, 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 Lily, did he... No, lady, we didn't lose a brown and white cocker spaniel. Goodbye. How do so many people get wrong numbers?
Oh, Matt, relax, will you?
I'm perfectly relaxed.
Go into the living room. I'll call you when the phone rings, and in a few minutes I'll have lunch ready.
Lunch? That's a good idea. What's for lunch?
Codfish cakes and boiled turnips.
Boiled turnips? You're kidding.
What's wrong with boiled turnips? Lots of people serve them.
I know, but very few people eat them.
Look, I went to a lot of trouble to make this meal, and the least you can do is to show some appreciation.
Well, I do appreciate it, Ruth, but how come your mother can go into the kitchen and in no time at all whip up a meal that's just delicious?
Oh, so you think my mother's a better cook than I am?
Only when it comes to cooking food. Turnips, you cook better.
You don't have to be nasty.
Ruth, when it comes to cooking, don't compare yourself with your mother.
Hey, Matt, you home?
Oh, yeah.
Well, if anybody asks me to stay to lunch, I won't say no.
Oh, well, how come you're not eating at home, Pete? Didn't Gladys cook for you?
Oh, yes. Can you think of a better reason for eating out?
Now, Pete, I happen to know Gladys is a very good cook.
Are you kidding? Before we got married, she cooked for the rescue mission. After 1 week, all the bums went out and got jobs. You made for me today? Egg foo young.
What's wrong with that?
Well, I tasted it. It's neither egg nor young. It's just foo. Believe me, if that girl...
Hold it, Pete. What's that? Wait a second. Hey, Pete, that's your dog running away from your house.
Well, naturally, he knows it's time for Gladys to feed him. Now, believe me, that girl is going to have to learn to cook because getting to a point where it's unbearable. You realize I got the only garbage disposal in town that has to take bicarbonate or soda?
Yeah. Well, you should talk. Look what Ruth made for me today. Codfish cakes and boiled turnips.
Well, that far my Gladys wouldn't go. Now, you see, Ruth?
Well, if that's the way you feel about it, Matt Henshaw, you can eat out.
But Ruth...
I mean it. You're going to get your lesson once and for all. If you want lunch, go to a restaurant. Goodbye.
I hope Madame enjoyed the lunch.
Oh, thank you, waiter. I've never been to a French restaurant like this before. It's just très regal.
Would Madame care for something else?
Well, Mr. Primrose just went to make a phone call and asked me to order a Benedictine and brandy for him.
Oui? And for Madame?
Well, I don't drink.
What a pity.
Oh, do you think I should?
Well, everyone around you is. Sometimes a drink is the doorkey to romance.
Oh, I'm not averse to opening a door. Let me see the menu. Creme de menthe, Pousse Café, Orange Blossom, Horse's Neck. Horse's Neck? My, that sounds refreshing. I'll take that.
Very good, madame.
Lily, did you order the liqueur?
Madame just did.
Yeah, well, thank you. Thank you very much. Now, just think, Lily, in a few short days, I'll be dining at Simpson's Restaurant in London.
That will be nice.
I'm certainly going to miss you, Lily.
You will?
Oh, you know I will. you'd love the cities of Europe. You've never seen them, have you?
No, but there are a few cities in the United States I'd like to see. Chicago, Cleveland, Niagara Falls.
They tell me Niagara Falls is beautiful.
Here are the drinks. Let me see. The Benedictine and Brandy for the gentleman.
As we say, yes, we.
And this drink for the lady.
Thank you. You know, Oscar, there's something I must tell you.
What is that?
I've never had a drink before.
You've never had a drink?
No. But since you're going away, I think we should celebrate.
Yes, yes, that's the spirit. Well, here's to you.
Bottoms over. Night is strong, Oscar. I can't tell you how much I'm enjoying this lunch.
Oh, now, wait a minute. You call this a good lunch? Got to see the food you get abroad. On this European trip, I'm going to Paris for Vichy Schwa, to Berlin for Sauerbraten, to Vienna for Wiener Schnitzel. And do you know what I'm going to get in Constantinople?
Indigestion?
Indigestion? No, no. Shish kebab.
Shish kebab always gives me indigestion.
Oh, Lily, you are priceless. It's wonderful being with you.
Oscar, you mustn't. Everybody can see you holding my hand.
Why, Lily, you're blushing.
It must be the drink. Oscar, please don't take advantage of me. I don't know what I'm doing. I shouldn't be drinking. Waiter, another horse's neck. I mean a horse's neck. Oh, Oscar, I don't know when I've had such a good time. You, waiter, another horse's tail.
You mean horse's neck.
Bring me the whole horse. I'll pick out the part I want.
Lily.
I want to live. I want to live. I want to live.
Lily, please.
What?
Everybody's watching you.
Well, so what? Oh, I feel so silly. I mean, I feel so hilly. I feel so chilly. Isn't that terrible? I can't say it. My goodness, waiter, what did you put in these horses' necks?
It is only ginger ale with a cherry in it.
Oh, is that all?
Yes, madam.
Oh, dear, now I really feel silly. Oh, Oscar, I'm so embarrassed. I wonder what made me act like that.
Oh, well, that's what I like about you. You're so unworldly. Lily, I want to ask you something. Oh.
What?
Isn't that your son-in-law, Matt, over there by himself?
It can't be. Matt wouldn't be here by himself. Yes, it is.
Well, be that as it may, Lily, what I'm trying to say is, all my life I've waited.
Oh, excuse me. Matt, what are you doing here? Where's Ruth?
She's at home and she can stay there for all I care.
I don't understand, Matt. I don't like the look in your eye. What's come between you and Ruth?
Codfish cakes and boiled turnips. Lily,
Matt,
what's the matter?
I don't understand.
What it is, it isn't important.
Oscar, I've got to go home right away. You'll have to excuse me.
Lily, I'm trying to say I've waited all my life.
Oscar, if you've waited all your life, another half hour won't make any difference. I've got to help my daughter. Mother, are you sure this will work? Ruth, dear, leave everything to me. It's my fault that you and Matt quarreled. But I had exactly the same trouble with your father. I remember the first week we were married, I made a pot roast for him.
It was no good?
He said the pot was more tender than the roast.
Well, what did Father say?
We ate at his mother's for the next 3 weeks.
Oh, but how did you get him back?
His mother was a very wise woman. She deliberately made one special meal, and your father never mentioned her cooking again.
And that's what you're making for Matt now?
Yes. She gave me the recipe. It's called icebox stew.
Oh, what goes into it?
Well, you just empty the icebox, close your eyes, and stir.
Now, let me see what we have here. An old turkey neck, three frozen shrimps, a cup of horseradish, vinegar, can of maraschino cherries, and a half a pomegranate.
Henshaw speaking.
Mr. Porter, outside to see you.
Oh, send him in.
Hi, Matt. What are we going to eat tonight?
Got the greatest news for you. Pete Ruth just called. Lily's cooking, so I'm eating at home again, and you're invited.
Well, now you showed them who's boss.
Sure, and because Lily is being so nice to me, I'm repaying her.
Well, what do you mean?
Well, I've invited Oscar Primrose to dinner. What a surprise for Lily. He's a connoisseur of food, and when he tastes Lily's cooking, I'm a vice president.
Tell when this icebox stew is done.
It's very simple, dear. You put a spoon in. If it turns black, it's done. Oh, here they are. Is that you, Matt?
Yep. Pete's with me.
When do we eat?
Oh, man, am I hungry. Hey, it looks wonderful. What's in it?
What isn't?
See, I'm so hungry, I could eat a horse.
You see, Ruth, I knew we forgot something.
Look, go into the living room, boys, and we'll call you when the table's set.
No, we can't wait. Can't we have a little taster now to tide us over, sort of a preview?
Go on, Mother. He's asking for it.
All right. Here, Matt, use this black spoon. And here's a spoon for you, Pete.
It smells so good. Ruth, I hope you have the recipe for this.
Oh, I'll never forget it. Go on, darling, eat. You too, Pete. Mm. Well, how do you like it?
It's quaint. Sort of takes your breath away.
I'm waiting for mine to come back. I wonder if Oscar is going to like this.
Oscar?
Yes, I didn't tell you. It's a surprise. When I found out Lily was cooking tonight, I invited him for dinner.
Oh, no. You invited Oscar?
Sure. Lily, what are you doing throwing the dinner down the drain?
Don't stop her, Matt. Don't stop her.
Oh, Matt, how could you invite Oscar here?
Oh, that must be him now. I'll go see.
Oh, what are we going to do?
Well, gee, Lily, I didn't know it would put you in the spot.
Well, that's where I like to be, in the kitchen. Best room in the house. Hello, Lily.
Good evening, Oscar.
I just can't wait to eat the meal you cook, Lily.
Well, there's been a mistake. We're going out for dinner.
Going out?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I should say not. That's ridiculous. You don't know it, but you're speaking to one of the best cooks there is. Hand me that apron, Lily.
Well, if you insist, Oscar.
I'm going to make a dish for you that you'll never forget. It's my specialty. I discovered it in a little village in the Pyrenees. It's called Ola Podidra Andalusian. You'll never run across this dish unless you go to the village.
Oh, it sounds fascinating. But what will you need?
Oh, what will I eat? Let me see now. An old turkey neck, three frozen shrimps, cup of horseradish, vinegar, can of maraschino cherries, half a pomegranate. What the whole thing?
December Bride, starring Spring Byington, was created and directed by Park Levy. Tonight's script was written by Phil Sharp and Bill Friedman and featured Hal March as Matt, Doris Singleton as Ruth, and Hans Conried as Pete. Others in the cast were Jim Backus as Oscar and Lou Krugman as the waiter. Bob Lamond speaking. Be sure to hear December Bride next week at this same time.
Today and tomorrow are the last days this offer can be made. To get the free, packed, fast, factual tax convention handbook, the one that tells all about present and past political conventions, the one with the facts to make the conventions easy to understand when you hear them on CBS Radio, send a postcard with your name and address to Time CBS, Chicago 90, Illinois. That's Time CBS, Chicago 90, Illinois. And be sure to hear December Bride transcribed next week at this same time. Figures from the National Safety Council show that excessive speed is a factor in 2 out of 5 fatal traffic accidents. Many drivers still think that speeding merely means going over 50 miles an hour. And for this error, they pay with their lives. Regulatory speed signs post the speed limit for a particular neighborhood under ideal conditions. Remember to drive at a safe speed. Always adjust your speed to road conditions. And read and heed those signs of life. This is the CBS Radio Network.